This is Bragging Rights, a show all about college football, where the conversations are lively, the topics are trivial, and the hosts are semi-knowledgeable. And now, here are your hosts, Madison and Pierce.
Welcome in to another edition of Bragging Rights. Week 8 is in the books, and we are here to break down the good, the bad, and the downright ugly. All the action that happened, we're going to talk about it here today. Before I get into that, I need to introduce my co-host. My name is Madison. I'm joined, as always, by my brother Pierce. Pierce, how are you?
Doing well. Got to consume quite a bit of college football on Saturday and NFL yesterday. I will say, coming off the Vandy game, I was ready to consume all of it, and I think I OD'd. I'm not going to lie. quite literally, I can't wait to turn on the TV tonight and not watch Monday Night Football. That's how much I have consumed over the last 2 days. But excited to break it down. There were some interesting things. I think we really, obviously, the further we go into the season, you know, the more you learn. But this was the first week where I felt like, oh boy, I learned a lot about, you know, a lot of teams, a lot of conferences in general, and it's kind of starting to shape up, and the picture is starting to become a little bit clearer here. So excited to break it down with you. I don't know if you watched any football this weekend, but it was an interesting one.
I did. I was moving, so it was on in the background a lot, but was able to sneak over to a bar to watch the Florida State-Duke game. And was nervous for a little bit in that one. But I got to hand up really quick. I got to apologize. We gave some pretty bad intel that Riley Leonard was not playing. He did play, but Florida State did, in fact, cover. So
spin zone, not even really spin zone. We did say he wasn't going to play. I don't know if I prefaced it with, you know, if he does play, he ain't going to be 100%. But it was pretty clear. I think we were spot on there. Hence why I don't think Riley Leonard went back in the game, was because he got a little bit dinged up again on top of already, you know, he was not able to run the ball. He was out there making hero passes, and just they were running, trying to get it out of his hands early and often. And when he got that slight little ding, the coach was like, heck no. He kept going. He was like, I'm good. Let's go back in. And the coach was like, heck no, son, we've got a bigger fish to fry here. Let's just chalk this one up as an L. We need you for this stretch run here. We don't need you going and getting hurt. So while we were wrong, and it certainly could have cost us on the wagering, he wasn't 100%. I think it was pretty evident.
Well, even though we were wrong about that, I wasn't wrong about the game, Pierce. I went 3-0 on my easy peasies this week. So I'm going to say now, I might have been exhausted, but I was able to cobble together a few brain cells to figure out mid-move where the bets were, and I nailed it.
Yeah, this was the worst week I've had to date. 0-3. Hell, I also hinted at the over in the FAU game. So really, if you took that, 0-4. Which is funny because I didn't have a terrible day overall, but my easy peasies were rough. I never saw, and we'll get into it, never saw USC going down, and especially in the fashion they did. And that was my favorite play of the day. And then, golly, I don't know if you caught any of the Oklahoma State-West Virginia game, but that was a wild and wacky game in which every time West Virginia seemed to get possession, and I'm going to talk about this because we're not bringing this up in the good, bad, and ugly. Every time they would get control of the game or momentum, they'd have some stupid play. One of the plays that really flipped the game on its head was they were getting ready. They were up a touchdown or up 3 points. They were going to get great field position, and one of the blockers on West Virginia on the punt just de-cleated the return man before he could even catch the ball, and Oklahoma State picked it up and 2 plays later scored. It was like, are you kidding me?
Classic.
And from there, so just some wackiness going on. It was kind of a wacky week altogether. Unfortunately, was not on the wrong side or on the right side of that. We'll do better next week.
Yeah, well, it was wild, but there were still some things that played out exactly how we expected. And let's get into it. From the jump, Pierce, really quick, I got to shout out friend of the pod, Jeff Prifty. He won this week on the pick'em pool. I believe that's his first one of the season, 11-6. And then we had a 4-way tie for second place. Matthew G., Tim Sestito, our dear old dad, and our 6-year-old Luke, they all tied for second. Like we already alluded to with your easy peasies, you and I did not do so hot in the picks, but that's okay because you still finished above Kate's. 4-13, Cates. You're going to have to explain yourself when I see you next. All right. Let's jump in, Pierce, with our good, our bad, and our ugly. My good of the week is the Alabama Crimson Tide. Wasn't quite as much of a drumming as I told you it would be, but they did win this one by 14 points. Took them a little bit of time. They were down in the first quarter 13-0, and then they were able to finally score, and then they poured it on in the third and the fourth they didn't even allow Tennessee to score in that second half. 34-20, the final there. I mean, it was going to take a lot for Tennessee to win this game. It was in Bryant-Denny. It was a revenge game. Joe Milton is no Hendon Hooker, and this offense is not what they've done last year. Didn't foresee this being, more defensive this year than last. So that's an interesting thing for these two teams. But the biggest thing, Pierce, to me is the penalties. In Tennessee, and I know this is more about the good for Alabama, not for Tennessee's not, it's not like they performed bad enough to make my ugly or my bad, but they just could not. They just kept shooting themselves in the foot the whole time. And this is a big thing with Josh Heupel. I don't have the stat pulled up, and I'm not going to go look for it. But I saw on Twitter today, this is a thing that happens to his teams. They just are not as disciplined as they probably need to be. So it, ultimately shoots them in the foot, and those kinds of things do add up. If you look at the scorecard, if you look at the stats of it all, Bama didn't have the best game of all time. But when you have 8 penalties for 55 yards, that's just going to be tough on you. So, an interesting, sloppier game, not as fun of a game, but the third Saturday in October is always, one that you want to circle on your calendar. Bama gets it done. They stay alive in the West. They stay alive in potential playoff contention, and just ultimately were able to gut something out, because I don't think Tennessee is necessarily a bad team. But like I said, just kind of undisciplined. But 7-1 now on the season, and they're still in play for a lot of things. So I know that everybody wanted to call the dynasty dead at the beginning of the season, Pierce, but it is not so, and they have plenty to play for. So we'll see. It's going to be a big one when they have another rematch versus LSU later on in the season, which will probably determine who plays in Atlanta. So good on the Alabama Crimson Tide, and ultimately Tennessee, nothing to hang your head about necessarily. But also you gotta shore up some things for certain. All right, Pierce, any comments on that? And what is your good?
Yeah, this was, thank you for throwing it. I was going to have to stop and say, hey, I want to comment on this one. And, cause this was the game that I probably watched the closest, on Saturday. Couple things to note. I thought Tennessee did a really good job in the first half. Particularly the first, the first quarter, scheming up plays, for Joe Milton. They were, looked competent, and they haven't looked competent on offense all that often this season, and they look good against a very, very good defense in a hostile environment. I mean, heck, I don't know if you were if you caught any of the sounds since you weren't moving and all that, but man, they had that Alabama crowd shocked and quiet. Here's the one thing about Tennessee that I think is very evident this week or this year, and I called it out on Saturday. I've called it out in the past. Inevitably, this Tennessee offense has lulls. They don't operate at a high enough clip. Joe Milton isn't Hendon Hooker. They might not have the weapons on the outside as well. And inevitably, they're going to hit a lull, and they're going to have trouble scoring. And that was the big question mark to me was, hey, can Tennessee get up by enough to hold on for dear life here? And the answer was no. And quite frankly, as right as I was there, I did learn a lot about Alabama in this one. This was the first game where I thought Alabama kind of flexed their muscle and showed it and kind of hit a different gear. I it's not always going to be pretty, but Tennessee's got a fairly good defense. And what they did in the second half, I mean, heck, I don't know if you saw right before halftime, Tennessee scored, which was shocking to me, to extend the lead to 20-7, I believe it was. And gain all the momentum. And then Tennessee got the ball at half. They had that crazy, I think it was on this play, they had that crazy fair catch, which wasn't the only fair catch. That was an odd call on the weekend. There were a couple actually. And they got it really close, like, on the 3 or 4 yard line as a result. And, punt, two plays later, boom. Bama touchdown. And from there, the momentum was seized. And really, it was kind of a downhill, a runaway freight train going downhill for Alabama. I mean, all that good momentum, all that good play in the first half just absolutely taken away in a matter of 45 seconds. So I was impressed with Alabama. Like I said, this isn't the Alabama that has won national championships in the past. I don't know if they necessarily need to be this year due to kind of the landscape of college football and the uncertainties. I don't know if there's a single great team out there to be honest with you.
No, I was just about to cut you off and say that. This weekend, of anything, proved to me, we're not going to hit on the Ohio State-Penn State game, which is probably an oversight on us, but that just shows you that game, the game of the weekend, it didn't stand out. Like, there's just no team to me, maybe Michigan, but they haven't played anybody yet. Like, nobody in the country is like heads and shoulders better than anybody else, which is probably why this season's been really fun, but it's also kind of, it'll be interesting down the stretch what happens.
Yeah, and I'll just quick run through. I know you're going to hit on some games lately. Penn State, Ohio State, two very good defenses, but man, even though Ohio State won that game, and yes, I think they could win it all if things go right. I just don't see that offense being that scary to me like they have been in the past. And quite frankly, Penn State was an abomination on offense. I know it was Drew Aller
themselves in the foot.
Yeah, I know Drew Aller, and yeah, with that that scoop and score. I thought you could
that
tell.
Sucked.
Yeah, that was
that being the game.
There were some wild calls this weekend, to be honest with you, like crazy shifts that came down to penalties or lack thereof. Drew Aller, first, the reason I didn't have this as a bad or good was because I thought there was, there was some rough play on both sides of the ball, some good play on defense. But Drew Aller, his first road start as a starter, don't think you sucked. Can just throw him out. He sucked, but don't think you can just throw him out. I mean, I hope not, because that means that Josh Hoover for TCU is dead in the water too. So I'm not going to go that far. but also, we're not hitting on this game too. You look at it, Oklahoma struggled. Now I get it. They kind of slept walk in that game. It's to be expected. But then you have Texas. Quinn Ewers going down with an injury. They slept walk in the second half. I don't know the extent to Ewers' injury, but it's at least probably 2 weeks, an AC sprain, which is what he had last year against Bama that kept him out most of the rest of the season. So a lot of uncertainty, a lot of weirdness going on. Yeah, you're right. Michigan may be the one team that just hasn't played anybody, so we don't know if they're this unbeatable team or this team that has head and shoulders above at every level. So we'll see. And we won't know that for a couple more weeks, but crazy stuff going on in college football.
Yeah. Did you say you're good or did I miss that?
I did not. You did not set me up for it. You asked if I wanted to.
Yes, I did. And I said, what's your good of the week?
Oh, I thought you said, well, you want me to hit on, you want to hit on anything Tennessee Alabama first. My good of the week is the Utah Utes. I mean, listen, part of this, I guess, could be because I had a big bet on USC. That was my favorite play of the day, and I'm quite embarrassed that I gave that out to the public. Sure, I guess. Yeah, that probably plays a little bit of a part in it. But this Utah team has been super scrappy all year. They've really struggled on the road, and they played quite well. Now, I know USC's defense is not all that good, so it's a get-right spot for the offense, whomever they are going up against. But a third-string quarterback, I know he started against Florida, but as I think it was Whittingham said after the game, he's a pig farmer, which I don't know if that was just in jest or if his family runs a pig farm or what, or runs a farm just in general, but very interesting. And man, they just know how to beat this USC team. And I know they had to have some things go right, most notably a couple bad penalties on USC's part down the stretch. But man, they just know how to get it done against USC and didn't back down all night. And, guys stepping up, they're injured, as most teams are, but they're injured. It was announced, I don't know if you saw this, that Cam Rising is officially done for the year. He's not going to play this season.
Yep.
So I think it was important to get a performance like this from a QB in Bryson Barnes. It's not going to be flashy. But man, that dude gutted it out and was absolutely, when they had to have that field goal, he broke one off and ran for like 30, I think it was 32 yards or something along those lines, and to get them into field goal range. And his shirt, they had the white unis on, was just all sorts of different colors, grass stains, the red from the Trojan colors, the gold. I mean, it was crazy. He was out there fighting for every inch. So I got to give it up to the Utah Utes. For what could have been a rough season, they just continually fight their tails off and are in positions to win.
Well, and if you remember, they had USC's number last year as well. So,
I think last 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, I said that, I think, in our preview. There's just something about Utah. They just scheme up against USC very well. And now you've got back-to-back losses for Lincoln Riley and company, and that doesn't look great, especially considering everything. I mean, Caleb's Heisman chances are shot. He's done. You know, you got to think he'll probably now go to the NFL. There's no reason to stay necessarily. You've already kind of you didn't win a championship, but you've already won the damn Heisman. And your stock's pretty high. The last thing you need to go is lay another stinker in your year next year. But it's Utah. I mean, to your point, they could have, when Cam Rising was announced, when they started the season and Cam Rising, you know, wasn't playing, you kind of thought, oh gosh, what's going to happen? And they've played pretty well. And now they have a really, really big one, Pierce, next week. It's already been announced as the game that Game Day is going to. They're welcoming Oregon in. It's going to be a 3:30 kick there in Salt Lake City. This is a big one. So you've got two, you know, it's going to pretty much, I would assume, determine who's going to potentially play Washington in the Pac-12 championship. Now, Washington has to win out and do their part and stuff, but that's going to be a huge, massive game. And the fact that they are in the you know, the hunt for something like that is really cool for this, considering they don't have their star quarterback. All right, I'm going to flip over to my bad, Pierce. And now this one I did surprisingly watch a lot of. I do have one slight bone to pick with YouTube TV. I don't know how you watch games. If you're watching, I think you were watching Georgia this weekend, so you were with the Comcast, if I'm not mistaken. So you were able to flip around. YouTube TV's got this great multi-view for sporting events, but you don't get to pick what sporting events they are. So you kind of are beholden to, like, okay, I like those two. I don't really like those two, but I'm going to pick this one anyways. So this was one that I wasn't anticipating watching, but it just happened to be over on the side of the multi-view. And it is the Oklahoma Sooners, my bad of the week, welcoming in the UCF Knights in the Dylan Gabriel Bowl. As you remember, Dylan Gabriel used to play at UCF. He does not anymore. Now he's the quarterback for Oklahoma, and they win in a close one. And it was kind of baffling to me because UCF's not all that good this year. Oklahoma's been doing some big things this season, and obviously they had that win over Texas. And then they were off last week, and I was like, okay, like, they're going to come in, they're going to beat UCF's brains out. And that just didn't happen. They squeak one out 31-29, the final there. And UCF was up at one point, Pierce. And I mean, they really probably, I was at, when Oklahoma was not going to cover the 19.5 points, I was like, that's it. I'm a UCF fan. Like, come on, this would be so fun to see chaos. But they do squeak it out, so good on them. But just not a great performance. On the other flip side of things, shout out to John Reese Plumlee and company. He was 248 yards, 2 touchdowns. So he had a pretty good day. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know who Oklahoma is. Like I was saying earlier, like, nobody jumps off the page as really good in the nation. Maybe Michigan, but they haven't played anybody. I'm not ready to put them on that caliber yet. But you have these teams that will go have a good showing. Washington's another one we're not going to talk about. I understand that was a letdown spot. You have a big emotional win over a rival, but then you welcome in Arizona State and you only win by 8 points. And you've got the Heisman favorite on your team. Like, I don't know. It's just really weird. It's a weird season. But yeah, Oklahoma's my bad. I could have thrown in the TCU Horned Frogs because you were telling me, oh my gosh, like, this new quarterback, it's going to be so great. 41-3. You want to put yourself on that bad list, buddy?
No, I told you. We previewed this game last week, and I told you clearly this is Hoover's first road start. I picked Kansas State for a reason. Now, I didn't see it going this
way. Behind the scenes, you were really high on him.
Yeah, I'm high on the prospect. Despite the play of the team as a whole, even in this bad of a loss, it was even more affirming to me that he is way better in this offense than Chandler Morris. Chandler Morris, this game would have gotten even more out of hand. Hoover is decisive. He knows where he's going with the football. You know, maybe it wasn't perfect, but they would have never won this game because their defense sucked. Their defense was atrocious. So it has nothing to do with the quarterback play necessarily. It has everything to do with the defense. And I said it on the preview that we were going to lose, hence why I took Kansas State. And it was Hoover's first road start.
I picked TCU because I believe in my brother and I believe in his team. And I sent you a pretty pointed text, and I'll drop the audio in of what I sent you.
Always putting words in my mouth.
But I'll drop the audio in here so everybody can hear what I sent you real time.
Thanks a lot, you idiot. Thanks a lot, Rachel. Thanks a lot. Thanks to you, my charger's not charging on my iPad because it's got used to your iPad instead of mine. It's not charging my iPad and it's all your fault. I hope you're happy because I've told Mom.
Okay, so that was my bad is the Oklahoma Sooners. What was your bad of the week?
My bad of the week, the Clemson Tigers. Man, has I don't even know if you could call it a dynasty, but man, if it wasn't evident.
Dynasty.
Huh?
It was a mini dynasty.
Mini. Yeah, I guess you could say mini.
Mini, but it's been dead for a minute.
You know, if it wasn't apparent already after last season or even before last season that this whole Clemson run is over, I mean, this was all the chips were in for Dabo Swinney in this one for this year. I mean, I think I even saw some, I know I saw some pregame or some preseason videos where he was, you know, giving hype up speeches to his team and saying, like, this is it. Like, we got to go this year. We've got the squad to do it. We need to go. We got the quarterback. Let's do it this year. And now they're 4-3. 4-3. And they went out and got Garrett Riley. And their offense hasn't done a lick better. It's shocking to me. It really is starting to make me think that this is kind of a Jimbo Fisher type of situation where they want to do it the Clemson way, as we're always hearing. And that Clemson way is too difficult for them to manage with these new hires. They had a long Brent Venables. They had some offensive coordinators in there before that were kind of the Clemson guys that grew up in that system. And now they're bringing in these outside guys and they don't want to let them cook. And I don't get it. Now, Cade Klubnik is nowhere near Max Duggan. Let's just put it out there first and foremost. Cade Klubnik, quite frankly, is just a jag. He's just another guy, it seems like, which is not a good thing. Especially, I think he might have been my Heisman candidate, Heisman winner this season. I want to say I picked him. Boy, was I wrong there. But man, to be up 10 going into the fourth quarter, not being able to put the foot on the gas and get another touchdown and ice the game, to allow Miami to score twice in the last 8 minutes of the game. And then in overtime, I don't know if you saw, but on the 4th and 1 from like the 1-yard line, 4th and goal from the 1, they ran what was apparently a read option or what looked to be a read option. However, after the game, Dabo Swinney and Cade Klubnik both said that it was supposed to be just a handoff to Will Shipley and that Cade Klubnik just decided, I'm going to try to be a hero. And it was an awful decision. Will Shipley probably would have scored. And Cade Klubnik got stoned. There was just a guy waiting for him there. So just head-scratching decisions, not just Cade, but also just what's going on with Clemson, man. I mean, it seems like they were excited to get some of the coordinators in, and I was too, to see how they would cook and gel with this team. And they just don't have much, man. They just have very little. They don't have that elite QB like Trevor Lawrence or Deshaun Watson coming to save them anytime soon. And defensively, they're okay. But they don't have those Christian Wilkins. They don't have those studs across the board. And other than maybe Barrett Carter. And so it's shocking because they get good recruiting classes. I don't know if it's a development thing. Maybe it's a development and coaching thing. But clearly, Dabo's message seems to be getting stale there in Clemson, South Carolina.
Yeah, I love it personally because for so long they were just kind of the beast of the ACC and nobody could get past them. And so I hate it for Clemson fans. I know that's not a good feeling, but I love the fact that finally, you know, hopefully too, he kind of wakes up and he changes some of his ways because the not going to get anybody from the transfer portal, the being so set in some of the we do things the Clemson way, it's biting you in the butt. So we'll see what he does here in the offseason. I'm going to stay in the ACC, Pierce, for my ugly. It's going to be the North Carolina Tar Heels. I was so excited a couple weeks ago. I was like, oh my gosh, you have the potential. The ACC is going to be chaotic. You have the potential for Florida State, Louisville, and UNC to all be undefeated at the end of the season, and they don't play each other, and what are they going to do about that? And oh my gosh, it'll be so fun. Louisville went down last week. UNC goes down this week. And they go down, Pierce, against probably the worst, one of the worst teams in college football, the Virginia Cavaliers. Virginia wins this one 31-27. I mean, I didn't watch a lot of this one, I won't lie. Drake May, if you're just looking at his performance, he had a pretty good score sheet. So I don't understand he did have one interception. He was 24 of 48 for 347 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. So I don't really know what happened there. UVA fumbled the ball twice, lost one of those. So if you're looking at this, Pierce, as somebody who didn't watch a ton of this game, so maybe you can help me a little bit here. It jumps out because it has to, but I got to know, like, what happened to this game for UNC to lose? Because it didn't look like they should have. Was it just defensively they just couldn't stop them? Because if so, that's exactly what plagued them last year, and that's exactly what Mack Brown tends to do, is have one of these games that he shouldn't lose the game because their defense is just piss poor. Yeah, I mean, UNC going UNC. It kind of sucks for the ACC too, because they could have potentially had two teams in. Now they're going to have to have Florida State be undefeated in order to have one of their teams make the playoffs. Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting. Bad, ugly performance. I also want to throw in really quick, it's nothing new. We knew this is kind of their MO at this point. But number 24 in the nation, Iowa, they lost this weekend to Minnesota. Ugly game. Didn't watch a second of it. 12-10. Brian Ferentz is cooked. He's done. He'd have to average 35 points a game for the rest of the season in order to hit that mark that he has in his contract. So he's going to be gone, which is probably good for Iowa fans. Iowa fans, you're finally going to, rid yourself of that cancer. But I don't know where what's going to happen, because it's going to be an ugly divorce. And I'd be scared if I were you. Pierce, any comments on that, or take us through your ugly of the week?
I didn't get to watch too much of the Virginia game. I think that was going on right when the FSU game was, and I was cooking, so I didn't get to tune in as closely as I would have liked. I think one thing, that the talent is obviously there. I'm not seeing the progression, the elevating the play as much with Drake May as I would like to see. I mean, he only completed 50% of his passes. He seemed to target Tez Walker, and I know he's the best receiver on the team, but it seems like he wasn't even looking as much to the other guys. They just couldn't, this is a team that should easily go out against the Virginia team, who might be the worst team in Division I. And they couldn't even score 30 points on them. So kudos to Virginia. Glad to see them get off the schneid. They've had a rough year and a half, way far rougher than anybody else in the country. So it was good to see them get a win. But yeah, you were kind of just waiting on this for North Carolina. This is just what North Carolina does. And I don't know, man. I need to see, obviously the talent is there. I need to see more, some improvement from Drake May. Obviously when you throw 48 times, the top 20 or 30 quarterbacks in the country are probably all going to reach the 300 yard plus mark. But to only go for 50% of his passes is, quite frankly, for a potential top five pick, is inexcusable against a bad team. So it wasn't necessarily all his fault. It wasn't really maybe even his fault to at all, really, but there's just some weirdness going on there as in regards to what Drake May, why isn't he taking that next step? Because he's got the talent.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Pierce, what's your ugly of the week?
Boy, maybe you mentioned the Iowa game as, an ugly. And boy, was that game ugly to watch. But this one, well, okay. The Nevada San Diego State fans are going to say, au contraire, Nevada won 6-0 with two field goals. So maybe that was the ugliest game of the week. But it was like watching paint dry in the Arkansas-Mississippi State game. Mississippi State obviously starts Mike Wright. I thought they were going to, get a big boost from him. They only score 7 points against an Arkansas defense they're just, average. But it looks like this Arkansas team has fully quit on Sam Pittman. I don't think he lasts through the season, or at least in the next season. Remember when we were talking during the offseason, who is it that says this? I think it was Spurrier. Talking days or whatever. Where they go to talking SEC season. Media days, talking season. That's it. Thank you. KJ Jefferson was in a lot of people's minds the number one SEC quarterback. He threw for 97 total yards against a bad Mississippi State team.
Very bad.
Zero touchdowns, threw a pick, had 38 rushing yards on 16 carries. I mean, it's gotten bad. If that's not any indication, if you just watch the game, the first quarter really, this Arkansas team has totally given up. They've packed in. I'm sure guys on the team are already looking to where they want to transfer to. And it's a shame. I think what you're seeing this year more than anything is, you know, Arkansas is not a team that's going to contend for the SC West all that often. They have in the past, most notably, I think it was 2001 when they played Georgia in the SC Championship game. But this isn't a team that's routinely going to be there. But what they did have the last couple years when Sam Pittman first got there was he made a couple good hires. Briles did good things with KJ Jefferson and Rocket Sanders. And they had Barry Odom, who was the D coordinator that they hired, who was the head coach at Missouri in the past. Looking back, those were very good hires. And now that they're gone, he's whiffed on these next two coordinators, man. And it's going to probably be the fall of Sam Pittman at Arkansas. And it's a shame because he's a great guy. But selfishly, I hope he comes back to Athens because that guy can recruit and he knows how to coach line play. But yeah, it was just downright ugly. I actually was spite watching it because it was so ugly. I was like, yes, because it was so bad. I mean, you really could also throw this on Mississippi State, too. They were much better. But Arkansas, just the level of carelessness, they had no desire to go out there and play that football game, and it clearly showed.
Yeah, agreed. I saw that one that finished. That was not one of the ones I was watching, but 7-3, I was like a little bit bewildered. And Mississippi State gets a win. Good for them because they needed one. But yeah, you got to feel for those Arkansas fans. And I got to feel for both sides because to have to watch that game. Whew, we've been in some of – Georgia's been in some of those games. Usually Kentucky's like that, and that is just not fun as a fan. So
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Fun little hypothetical thing here. I don't think he comes back the rest of – I don't think he starts the rest of the season. I could be wrong. But where do you think oh, I'm just drew a blank on his name. The quarterback from Mississippi State transfers to.
Ooh. Well, I mean, he loved what Mike Leach did. So is there anybody who does something similar? I mean, I know nobody runs exactly what he ran.
So he's going to want to go to a pass happy offense for sure.
Yes. Pass happy offense. He does not want to be under center. And yeah, so I don't.
You know what's kind of scary?
To USC?
It's not a bad one. It's not a bad one. I don't know if USC would take him because coming off Caleb Williams, that's just.
Yeah. Well, but I don't know who's backing up Caleb Williams right now.
You know what I was thinking, and it scares the shit out of me? Would TCU take him?
Well, I don't know. You'd know better than I if he would, but
I know. I say that because I'm in denial.
I love that because he's kind of Max Duggan-esque the way he plays. It's kind of gutsy. He kind of flies about. It's not like he's in there and he's more stoic like the Carson Becks of the world.
He doesn't run like Duggan. Duggan was a big runner.
That's true.
But he's just chucking around the yard type of guy. And that's kind of – I kind of view him almost as a better Chandler Morris, which is not a great thing. But obviously with Hoover, you don't want to run him off. So I don't think that's likely. But I'm just curious. I thought that was an interesting – because he's going to land somewhere. And he, if he lands in the right spot, he could be a solid quarterback if they use him the right way.
Yeah, it will be interesting. God, it'd be kind of funny if he doesn't need him, though. But if Lane Kiffin went and got him, and that would just kill Brandon Walker.
What about Tennessee?
Tennessee? Well, they've got Nico.
Oh, true.
Yeah, they're not gonna veer from that. That kid's been waiting to play, and he's gonna get his chance. Probably, maybe sooner rather than later. All right. Well, since we're already going to the micro level and talking about players, Pierce, why don't you take us away with our braggers of the week?
Yeah, braggers of the week. There were some good points, good stats put up this week. Quarterback play was good, but all in losing effort. So, gonna be a little bit thin on the quarterback position. In a losing effort, we'll give a shout out to Cam Ward. He had the most passing yards on the week, 34-48 for 438 yards and a touchdown, zero interceptions. Jordan Maiava, UNLV quarterback, 27-36, 353 yards, pretty solid day there. And golly, I feel like we've said his name a ton, but JT Daniels, 24-37, 342 yards, two TDs and zero interceptions as they get the 42-10 win over Tulsa. Heading to the running back position. Maybe the guy who stole the spotlight this week and was really the downfall of my West Virginia bet, Ollie Gordon II, Oklahoma State, 29 carries for 282 yards, 9.7 yards per carry. That's really good. And four TDs. Naquan Wright, running back at USF, 26 carries for 186 yards and two TDs. And Kai Robichaud, BC, getting the big win over Georgia Tech, 38-23. He goes for 21 for 165 and two TDs as well. And then moving to the wide receivers, I bet you know who's going to come out of my name, my mouth first. He's the best, maybe the best player in the country. Luther I'm biased Burton there. Jr. I think it's Brock Bowers, but Marvin Harrison.
Oh, Jr. I was going Luther Burden.
Luther Burden's very good too. He had a little bit more of a quiet week this week. I think South Carolina did a decent job of kind of trying to make them throw elsewhere. He still had some big catches, but and he's been a perennial dude of the week for us on this segment. Marvin Harrison Jr. though, that was the big.
He cannot miss.
So that was the one thing that I think, obviously, defensively on both sides of the ball, Penn State and Ohio State looked very good defensively. The one difference between the two teams was not quarterback, not running back. It was that Ohio State had a guy that they could just go to every play and win with him, and Penn State didn't. He goes for 11 receptions for 162 yards and a touchdown on the day, and quite frankly, could have gone for more. Had a couple drops in that as well. And then I'm going to go, this is, I named him last week. It's just kind of crazy. Safety Sione Vaki, Utah, in their upset win. He did it last week on the ground. This week, five receptions for 149 yards and two TDs. As boy, I don't know if he's still playing safety or not. I don't know if he's doing the a la Travis Hunter, but it's wild that a starting safety or a safety that was going out and getting four or five tackles a game is making a real difference on the offensive side of the ball. It tells you where Utah is offensively. And then Tez Walker for UNC in their losing effort, 11 receptions for 146 yards and a touchdown, was really the only guy that could get open on the day. And it showed in their loss, unfortunately, but they've got a good one there in Tez Walker.
All right. Well, there you go. That's our braggers of the week and our good, bad, and our ugly. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Let us know what we missed, what we overlooked, what we got right, who you agree with. You can drop us a DM or a comment on social media at Braggin' Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Make sure you're subscribed here. We have, hey, if you missed it, the new rotation, that would do up to three episodes a week. We have the Good, Bad, and Ugly recap here every Monday or Tuesday, depending on how our schedules go. Then we have, coming out on Thursdays, we have our preview where we pick 10 games and look ahead, and we have our other brother Hank join us. But most recent to the lineup, and it's where we can win you some money if you're listening to me, not Pierce, it is the Easy Peasy Picks that drops Saturday morning. Quick little hits, just three games, usually three, four games each. We just tell you what we are on personally that day, and we hope that you can ride along with us and get some money as well. You know, you might be able to listen to some of our stuff and parlay it together into your own little fun, gambling bet. But if that's your thing and you want to win some pocket change, hopefully we can help you out there. So you make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss that. Comment, like I said already, on social media, rate the podcast, share the podcast, all those fun things. We really, really appreciate it. This has been a really fun season so far. We've got a few more weeks, and we want to make sure that, we are growing the fam all the way around with our podcast community. So make sure that you are joining into the discussion and having other people come along for the ride as well. All right. Well, that is going to do it here for us. We will talk to you next time for Week 9 preview. Until then, I'm Madison.
And I'm Pierce. Stay blessed, y'all.